In our study of the Gospel of John, John is going to bring to us the wonderful person of our Lord Jesus Christ. John is going to take, as we shared 100 times here, John is going to take and give us a window to look at, to see all the way from Genesis 1 in the beginning, all the way to the end, so that it encompasses the Old Testament, Moses, David, Paul, Peter, all the way, John is the last living apostle. And he brings to us that which we need to understand about all of it. All of it is about God. Christ is God. God has come in the flesh. Now, in the light of that, in the light of God's creative, redemptive purpose, it involves all human beings. Human beings are made in the image and likeness of God. Human beings made in the image and likeness of God were made to honor and glorify Him, so that human beings would represent and reflect His person. God would enjoy humans. Humans would enjoy God. When God looked at humans, He would see Himself reflected like a mirror. He would see Himself. He created them for His own honor and glory. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we are to have people, humans, are to have a relationship to His awesome person, a relationship in which and by which God sees Himself, shows Himself. Hang on to all that. It's all about God being God. And in the process, He makes possible what we've been speaking about, this relationship, by His saving grace. And He makes possible this by His person, the saving grace, found in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given and made possible this relationship because of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection on Calvary's cross, so that we could know God, know His wonderful person and presence. A relationship, a unique relationship. Now, God, as to His person, is at once one in essence, nature, being one God. And uniquely, He is found in this one person, one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All in one. Now, God, You want us to know You. You want us to understand. I do. You are one in essence, nature, being. And You are yet three, as it were. One in three, three in one. Now, how are we going to understand? You're going to understand the Father. In order to understand the Son, in order to understand the Spirit of God, in order to understand who He is, God. So how are we going to know You, God? We're going to know You in particular as Father. Not Son, not the Spirit of God. How are we going to understand You? We're going to come to You, Father, remember Father's Day. Father is the source, the origin, the begetter of all things. Always, someone has to do it. Someone has to make it happen. A father has to make it occur. So now, having said that little bit, John chapter 1, verse 14, just for a moment. John chapter 1 and verse, how are we going to know the infinite, invisible God? An ever-present God in a most wonderful way. And you would recall, you want to have this little background to help you. Verse 14, John 1:14, and the Word, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father in the Son, Father, full of grace and full of truth. Sliding down to verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, in the inner heart, lungs, the inner parts, in the bosom of the Father, the Son. He hath declared, the word declared, explained, exegeted. He makes it clear. The purpose of the Word becoming flesh is for God to become clear. How am I going to know God? By way of the person and work of the Son. The Spirit of God is going to honor and make that work, make His person and work very experiential, enjoyable, wonderful, a relationship to God. How are we going to relate to God? We're going to relate to God as Father. Now, having said that, in the light of that, and reminding you, the purpose of the Word becoming flesh is for God to make Himself known, as He did, Genesis 3:15 all the way through, in a very special way. He's a person. He made us persons. In order to understand and know Him, He became like us. He isn't like us, in that sense, fleshly. He is now because of His person and work on Calvary's cross. He became the Word, His perfect humanity, housed in perfect deity, housed in humanity. That humanity is to make itself known about God. So now, in making Himself known about who He is in a most wonderful way as God, and remember the simple illustration of all kinds of them that are very inadequate, but they're something. Remember, if there was a colony of ants, and you created them, and you wanted to warn them, you wanted to help them fulfill the purpose of their being created, and you wanted to, and you see the ants doing things that they shouldn't do, going in a direction they shouldn't, and you try to tell them something, and you try all kinds of ways to tell them, and you raise up ants down there, and the ants come and tell the other ants, like a prophet ant, and the ant comes along and talks to the ants and tells them to wake up, and you, the God that created you is concerned, you're going in the wrong direction, and you know the ants didn't listen, and God raised up using ants, all kinds of ants, and the ants didn't listen. So, if you were the Creator, you have the power, you created them, and thus you could go down and become an ant. And you, the Creator, as it were, of the ants, come down and tell them that you have the solution to their terrible course of action. But you know, they ended up rejecting you, and they killed you. Now, that's an ant story. God, what did you do? Prophets, tried to tell them, they didn't listen. God sent His Son to make it clear. How am I going to know God, the person of God? Being a person, not a giraffe, or a rat, or a cabbage. I'm a person. I am, I will, I ought, like God. So I can relate to God. Ants, that's why people look to God, that's why people worship God. You never saw a bunch of ants worshiping anybody. You never saw a bunch of squirrels worshiping. They aren't meant to. They're meant to instinctively fulfill God's wonderful plan. But humans. So now, having said that, God's wonderful plan, wonderful purpose, and that God is going to show himself in his Son. And over, I'm not going to do a lot, but just a little, over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 again. Remember, John chapter 5 and in verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things soever that he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So the perfect humanity of Christ perfectly represents God the Father, the Creator. We were created to be able to honor God's wonderful person in a wonderful way, as our Lord Jesus did. He enjoyed the perfection of God in his person. He allowed God, in all of his wonderment, to be God. And thus, he fulfilled the need to demonstrate, what are we created for? To fulfill the need of our we need a Savior because of sin. So our Lord Jesus Christ represents the Father in every way. Verse 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. The Father. You're always going to read the Father. The Son is representing the Father all the time. I drive that. I wish I could drive that home. That needs to be understood. So when you look, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive God the Son. But when you receive God the Son, you must receive God the Father. You must. They're one. And it isn't. You don't want to separate Jesus and God and Father and... No. I don't want to do that. I lose out. Thus, chapter 10. Chapter 10 of John. In chapter 10, if I may, verse 25, 10 and 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. My words, my works, I represent God the Father. So that when you see them, you know the person behind those words and works is the Father. Verse 32. Jesus answered them, many works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Why are you stoning me for them? Chapter 13. And in chapter 13, picking up, please. Oh, let me move a little bit further, time's sake. Chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. My Father does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. If nothing else, would you see what I can do and what I say? And it isn't in my humanity, it's in God's wonderful deity. So that when you receive me as your Savior, verse 20, 14 and 20, at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. At that day you will know that in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Matthew chapter 11. So, the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly, in his perfect humanity, perfectly represents God the Father. In Matthew chapter 11, And picking up, if I can, all going directly, if I can, to verse 25, 11:25 of Matthew. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hath revealed them unto babes, people that know. And remember, babes, when you think of that, you want to think of the, it's an attitude, it's a mental attitude, babes. It doesn't mean they don't know anything. No, on the contrary, babes mean, using an illustration, 2 plus 2 is 4. The babe knows that and yields, and there's so much more. And there's so much more. Now, to babes, to those that seek me, and verse 26, even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. All things were delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him the Father. Father. Over if you would, you have to. This, you can't know the Father without the Son. God the Son's wonderful ministry is to represent the Father. Hang on to that. Over to one other place, over to 1 John, the first epistle of John. And in chapter 2, 1 John and chapter 2. And if I may, please pick up in thought, verse 21. I have not written unto you, 2 and 21, 1 John. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but on the contrary, because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Truth is true. Remember, you don't make anything true. It either is true or it isn't true. That's all. You want to believe the truth. You don't make anything true. Now, and thus, verse 22, who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Antichrist. That denieth, when you deny Christ, you deny the Father, verse 22, and the Son. You can't separate them. They're separate. But in order to enjoy the wonderfulness of God, you have to understand He's Father. So you can enjoy the totality of His being. Thus, if I can, verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. So now, you can't have one without the other. And the one is to help you know the Father. Now hang on to that. Now, John chapter 6 again. John chapter 6. And if I may, in verse 37. John 6 and 37. I'll read it. You get the movement. Remember now, verse 36. I have said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. They don't believe him. He's standing in front of them. I am the bread of life. And all they have to do is receive and honor him. They wanted a piece of bread. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of the piece of bread, and they didn't honor the person, the giver of the bread. Verse 37. Now, what are you going to say, God? He's going to rebuke those people standing there that don't understand. He's going to rebuke them in one of the most marvelous sections in the Bible in a wonderful way. Now, let's follow it. We'll go right through it. Verse 37. If I can. All that the Father giveth me All that the Father gives me is giving me. All the Father is giving me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Remember now the word giving, giving. Father is giving, present tense. And shall come, we shared together, means arrival. It means all the Father giveth me are going to be found with me. Literally, they're going to come and be there, arrive, be present. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me are going to be found with me. And him, that's part one, all the Father giveth me. And verse 37, second part, him that cometh to me, the person that comes to me. So God, you're going to give, that's right. When Christ died on the cross, he died for the sin of the world. He died for all. He had to die for all. It's impossible not to get a shot of pink fluid in here and have it not flow in all of your body. You can't save one atom without saving all an atom. God's wonderful grace, he did that. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, all that the Father gives me, why are you going to give him? Because Christ is going to die before the foundation of the world. Christ is going to die for all. Therefore, how? God sent his Son to make it happen. God sent his Son to make it happen so that all that God created in Adam could be saved. And God did that, wonderfully so. And then the second part, verse 37, and him that is coming, the person, man or woman, boy or girl, that's coming to me, I will in no wise cast out. And the word is double negative in the Greek. I never. It will never happen. I will never cast them out. I will never turn them away. I will never send them away. I will not expel them. I will not do it. Everyone that comes to me, I will not expel. All that the Father giveth me can come to me, and all those that come to me I'm able to keep, and I will not cast them out. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, verse 38. A conjunction, because, I'm going to give you the reason. I'm going to give you the reason I don't cast them out. Because, for I came down, coming down, God sent his Son, the Word became flesh. I came down from heaven. I came down from heaven with the result that here I am, I'm out of heaven. And to do, I came down from heaven, verse 38, not to do my own will. I did not come to do my will. I'm not in my will. The word will means to be have an inclination, a decision, a volition, a will. Pleasure. I will, I determine, I decide, I want, I wish. I have a disposition that I want to please. I want to please and enjoy my good will. I take what I would and what I want and how I want it. I want that to happen. I'm going to go and press and resolve to make it happen. I will. I came down not to do my own will, said the Lord, said the Son of God. No, I didn't. I came down to do the will of my Father, verse 38. Came down to do the will of him that sent me. I came down to do the will of him that sent me. Well, that's good. That's good, because I want to know in the supreme authority, when everything is done down here, think of our humanness on planet Earth right now. Here we are in our country doing, planning, thinking, coming, going. But you know, there's authorities in our government that are made and are making decisions that is going to snowball right down to you, and you're going to keep them. You're going to live with them, the decisions, because they're higher than you. The Supreme Court makes a decision. And all the lower courts have to go by it. They make a decision. Here I am on planet Earth, God, And here's all of the people, powers, places over. I'm in the system, as we shared in Sunday school. I'm in the system. Now, God, what do I know? Is there a Supreme Court? Oh, there is. But we're going to go way past that. We're going to go to the highest, mostest authority. God. God has decided something. When God decides something, guess what? It's decided. And it won't make any difference. Anyone, anywhere, like it, lump it, do whatever you want. God makes a decision. I'm interested in the decision God makes. Christ came down not to reflect his will as in his humanity, but to reflect the Father's will. What is the Father's will? Verse 39. First, and by the way, before I do that, over with me, please, to chapter 5 again. Chapter 5 of John, and in verse 30. 5 and 30. You'll see it. I just want you to see my will. I came to do the Father's will. 5:30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As perfect man, I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why is that? Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness, verse 31, of myself, my witness is not true. I didn't come to represent humanity. I came to represent God, to allow God to be God. So now, I came to do my Father's will. Verse 39, in the light of that. And picking up, please. And this is the Father's will which has sent me. This is, present tense, what is the Father's will right then, right now? What is the will of the Father? I want to know that. Because everyone can do, say, think, manipulate, maneuver, manage, whatever you want. God's will prevails. It prevails. It won't make any difference about anybody. God says and God is going to do it. Wow. Now, so in verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me. What is the Father's will? That of all, remember all, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, all he which hath given me, he hath given me these things, the Father hath given me, that I should lose nothing. All that the Father giveth me, I'm going to lose nothing, not one. Now, how is that so? Because I am, hold your finger here a moment, and go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, if I can, in verse 3, 2, 3, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who, God our Savior, will have all men, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Because there is only one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that Christ Jesus made it possible to know the Father, who gave himself, verse 6, a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So, Father hath given all to the Son, and everyone that comes to the Son he will in no wise cast out. This is the Father's will, that all which he hath given to the Son, chapter 6, verse 39. all which he hath given to the Son, in verse 39, should nothing, I that of all that he, I'll read verse 39, whole thing. This is my Father's will, which he has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. I should lose not one, not one, not one, nothing, 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 zero, zero, not any. I can't lose any. Can't lose them. I will not cast them out. I will not do it. Why? My Father gave them me. My Father gave them to me. So everyone that believes, you have to receive. I do. I do. It's my Father's will. It isn't your will or my will or somebody else's will. It's my Father's will to do so. Now, in verse 39, I should lose nothing, no one, not a thing, lose nothing, not one, not any. Of all the all, I'm not going to lose any of those that come. I'm not going to do it. I will not. And lose any, but should raise it up again at the last day. Now, the word lose, L-O-S-E, in verse 39, is the word to lose utterly. To lose, to ruin utterly, to have an utter loss of the item. If you and I were to take, and you could, you have to turn there, in the Gospel of Luke 15, we have a lost sheep. The shepherd is concerned, the sheep isn't there. The sheep is totally gone. Absent, of no use, no value in any way, shape, or form. Therefore, he sought the lost sheep. The woman, Luke 15, loses the coin. She's after the coin. She has no, the coin can't buy anything. It doesn't give her any value at all. She has to find the coin. It's lost, L-O-S-T, it's ruined, has no value. The prodigal son is lost. He has no value. Here's the home, and the son has living on the pig's food. He's lost all benefit, all value. He's lost, he's lost, he's lost, he's lost. The word lost. I will lose nothing. Now, in order to see that in a way that is even more local to you here, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And picking up, if I may, in verse 15. 3 and 15. That whosoever believeth in him, Christ, should not perish. I'm going to read it another way. Should not be lost. Lost, perish, ruin, utter ruin. But have eternal life. On the contrary, he isn't going to perish. He isn't going to be lost. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be lost, to have no value, ruin, utterly useless to God, but have everlasting life. Wonderfully, chapter 10, on your way back, as it were. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, never be lost, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They are, I will not let them go, I will not let them escape. They are caught in the will of God. And it is God's will that all that the Father giveth me, I will lose none of it, not one drop. Now, everyone that comes, now, the other side of the coin, over with me, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There's the negative side, as it were. First Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish, them that are lost, foolishness. That's why they don't come. They think it's silly. If I come and believe in a crucified Christ, I'm going to have eternal life. That's correct. That's correct. But I don't have that value. Back to your Sunday school. I don't feel like I'm not that condition. My condition's not that bad. My physical, mental, spiritual. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. So, you have to come. But I don't want to come. I don't believe. All right? Do it again. Over to 2 Thessalonians. You would know. 2 Thessalonians, again, looking at the end time coming up. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Picking up, if I may, if I can, in verse 10 directly. I'll have to read verse 9 to give you a little better context. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, verse 10, in them, it isn't, they're wrong, they aren't right, they don't want to be right, in them that are perishing, that are lost. Verse 10, in them that are perishing, them that are lost, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So that, why aren't they coming? They don't want to be saved. They're lost. But everyone that comes can never be lost. I will never let them go. Over, if you would please, one other place. Second Peter. And chapter 3. 2 Peter in chapter 3. And you will note, please, I'm going to go directly to verse 9, 3 and 9, 2 Peter. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, long before being angry, to usward, not willing, that what? That any should be lost. But that all should come to repentance. God, you're not going to lose one. No, I'm not. Not everyone that comes. I can't cast them out. It's the will of God. I died on the cross according to the will of God. I died on the cross to save all men. So that every boy or girl, man or woman, would never, never, never lose out on being born physical on planet Earth in the days of 1,000 years ago, or 10 days ago. No one's going to be lost. I died for them all. Wow. But, they don't want to get saved. They don't want to get saved. Back over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And may I pick up in verse 39. I'll read it again. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, not a thing, none of them will perish, but should raise it up again at the last day. I'm going to have a wonderful future for them, a wonderful resurrection, etc. Now, we come to verse 40. And this. Now, you got verse 39, that's the Father's will. The Father's will that they should... He should raise them up at the last day. Who wants to raise them up? Who wants them to have eternal life? Who wants them to have a resurrected body? The Father does. God the Father. Now, having said that, that's God the Father. Verse 40 adds and explains and amplifies verse 39. Now, having said that to us about the Father's will and his wonderful plan and purpose, now the Lord Jesus Christ turns around and points it straight out at them that are standing there. Right out to them. So there's no question. What are we? This is God the Father's will. Absolutely. All right. Verse 40. And this is the will of Him, that's the Father, that sent me, repeated, that everyone that seeth the Son, everyone that sees the Son, to see, to perceive, to experience, everyone that sees the Son and believeth on Him is seeing and believing, believing, seeing, present tense, believing and seeing, may have everlasting life. May have, be having right now, everlasting life. And I'm going to raise them up in the future. So God, Lord, you pointed to heaven and said, this is the will of God the Father. Do you understand that? And then He turned around and pointed to them and said, this is the will of the Father concerning you. Concerning you. Wow. So, if you see, you see, do you understand? Do you perceive? Do you understand what He's been saying? Yes, it's simple. It's the will of God to save you. Simple. No. It doesn't matter whether it's the will of God. So no matter what you will and wish and want. Wow. So now, verse 40. And everyone that seeth the Son and understands, I understand, God. I can't get much simpler. I try. And believeth, I'm believing, I'm resting my case in my heart and on you. He that believeth on the Son of God shall never perish, never be lost, but have everlasting life. So I got it. I got it, God. It wasn't too hard. Wonderful. And if I do that, it is the will of the Father about you. Isn't that wonderful? The will of God. And then it points down and God said, now you out there standing there, it's all about you. Wow. And have everlasting life and shall raise them up at the last day. I'm going to do something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I am the bread, verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that believeth, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Do you believe that? Do you understand who I am? I'm standing in front of you. He was standing right in front of them. All they had to do was look. All they had to do was honor him. But, you know, they didn't. They didn't do it. Wow. Over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. When you want to honor the will of the Father, God, in all of His magnificence, in John, Romans chapter 8, getting the thought together, in the light of that, you want to come with your heart, and He makes possible this rightness, this realness, this relationship to the Father in a most wonderful way. And so now, just without even working at it, we're just going to pick off just some wonderful little things immediately. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 18, and this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that in everything, what? You give thanks. That's my will. That's my will. I get saved to be able to say thank you. I live with thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I live with that. Now, and thus, here Romans 8, picking up in verse 26, in verse 27, I likewise the Spirit itself, Him also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, 8 and 26. And Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit of God, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Spirit of God is going to understand in your heart all the things that you need, all the things that you should have, all the things that need to happen in your life, in your life. And God the Father, God, here you are. So what do we know? God, here we make choices and we do that, and we do them up to a point. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap and the whole outworking of it is God. So here I am, God, a believer in the will of God. I'm looking to you and I'm to be the beneficiary. of these blessings, absolutely. And my Father, what do I know? My Father, God, my Father, what are you going to do, Spirit of God? I'm going to help you. I'm going to say, help you understand. What's the first thing you do? I want you to learn to speak to God wonderfully in a relationship that is true in Christ, in the Son of God. I want you to say, Father. Abba, Father. That's what. When you talk to him, my Father. See, got to start off right, my Father. For legit, it's real. Now, my Father, that's right. Wow. And what about my Father? Romans 8, 26 and 27. My Father chooses what is best in the will of God. I can do all kinds of things. God may let me go only so far, assuming I'm saved. But God's there to choose. God's there to have oversight. So in my stupidity and stubbornness, if I keep going in the wrong direction, please step in. Don't let me go off the edge, fall off the edge. Don't let me do that. God, you choose. You choose what is best. I do. So I'm looking to you, God. I'm looking to you. Wow. To choose what is best. And not only that, but here in John, Romans 8, 28, for we know, 8, 28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God, what do I know? I know my Father chooses the best. That's what he has to. And I know that my Father is going to do the best. Not only does he choose the best, but I can do all kinds of things. I can outwork and fumble through lunch and dinner and supper and coming, work, home, school, and play and everything. I can do all that. But God, as I'm learning to trust you and look to you with thanksgiving, I understand my body is made to honor you. My heart and mind is meant to enjoy you, experience you, to have a personal relationship to you. And as I do all of that in a most wonderful way, I know, God, that you're going to not only choose the best, my Father, you're going to do the best. Do you think God does the best? My Father does the best for me. I didn't ask him to do the best. He's going to do the best. There is no second best. Remember, there is no second best, third best. No, there isn't. It's either in the will of God or it isn't. There's no middle ground. None. You either get what you want or you don't. Now, in the light of that, dear friend, not only choose to do the best, and in Romans 8 and 32, he that spared not his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is going to provide everything the best. He's going to do it. God is just going to do that. That's all. My Father's going to choose the best. My Father's going to do the best. My Father's going to outwork and provide the best. That's what he's going to do. I may not think it's best, but God does. Sometime you have to go hungry in order to be full. Sometime you're full. In order to enjoy being full, you need to be hungry. God has to do wonderful things for us. My Father takes care. My Father knows just what we need. He chooses and does, and chooses and does and provides. And verse skipping down, to verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No, we are killed all day long. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. In all these things, verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors to him that loved us. God, my Father chooses, my Father does, my Father provides the best, my Father loves me for the best. He loves me for the best. So, God, I'm getting it. It's a boom. It's heaven's glorious, eternal decision. Wow. It's done. So, God, if I just wake up and get a little smarter and look to you, a God. It isn't something I'm going to do. What am I going to do in this world that is totally against you as a world system? It doesn't want to even involve you. But God, you have made it so that we that would come, you would choose and do and love, etc., and provide what is the very best. And you have the power to make it happen. That's right, I do. You shall receive power. I have the authority to make it happen. So God, here I am, looking to you. And you have, I got where heaven, God, and then you told me, verse 40, directly, that I ought to know this. And I ought to understand it is the Father's will for me to have this relationship about my Father. Don't you do that as a father? No, I do, not much. I care, it's not very good. If you being evil fathers, so I know that in Luke. But hey, I want the best. I don't want to make. I'm not trying to torture people, my family. I want the best. But the best can only be found with God. If I leave God out, I got nothing. I have nothing. It's all vanity. It's nothing. I'm going to go anywhere. So God, closing, Romans chapter 12. Picking up if I can. God, your wonderful grace. Romans chapter 12. Picking up, God, what you, in the light of Romans, wonderful truth of Romans. So now you're going to put it into practice, the wonderful truth of Romans. And chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, eyes, ears, nose, throat, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only the logical thing to do. It's the most logical thing to do. If God is the Creator, and God created you for His glory and honor, in His image and likeness, and that God died for you and gave you His, God sent His Son to save you for Himself, the Father, then the Father's will is that I would be saved and never be cast out. That's the Father's will. And if I am going to believe and come, then I'm not going to be cast out. Then I'm going to be saved. And I ought to present my body for all of the wonderful benefits, just like the Lord Jesus Christ in His perfect humanity presented His body. I'm going to present my body to the Father's will. And verse 2, and be not conformed to this world. Don't let the world tell you what to wear, think, do. Be not conformed to this world system, but be transformed from the inside by the renewing of your mind. I want to think right that I can do right. I want my beliefs, which govern my behavior. You'll know what I believe by my behavior. You know what I don't believe by my behavior. And verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in order that purpose you may prove, put to the test, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's really God's will. The Lord Jesus said, now, have I told you about the Father's will? And the Father, by the way, you are. The Father is talking about you because of the Son. Christ, you made it all possible for Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel. You made it possible for the Father and for a person to come together in a unique relationship. You did. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, our homes, our health, our wealth. God, move, develop, exercise us to understand the magnificence of your decision before anything ever was. God, thank you. Thank you very, very much. So deal with our heads and hearts and cause us to have thanksgiving, appreciation, an awakened heart to understand the relationship that needs to be exercised and realized so that we can enjoy all the benefits and blessing. Otherwise, God, it all passes us by. And we are as a loser, and we need not be. God, thank you very, very much. And for those who know you not as Lord and Savior, convince them that they would believe, honor you, receive you as their Lord and Savior. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.